Greetings in the name of Jesus. I was inspired again as we renewed friendships here in this congregation, and may God add his blessing as you continue to serve him in this state of New York. You have the same God as we have in Pennsylvania, and you're welcome to come to Leola when opportunity affords. As Delbert was speaking, my mind went to, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and we'll do that. You know, we can make plans, but if the Lord wills. Tonight for a message, the title, The Nature and Function of the Conscience. None of us tonight can say, I don't have a conscience. That is a God-instilled organ or feeling, or what is it? In each of us. Inner feeling or a voice viewed as acting as a guide to the right and wrong of one's behavior. Does your conscience speak to you tonight? We all have a conscience that is constantly determining our moral issues of right and wrong. A soft inner voice will tell you if it's okay or if it is not. As I was pondering that thought, I was thinking, does an animal have a conscience? Does an animal have a conscience? It has an instinct. I feel the instinct of an animal works on a different behavior than it does a conscience for a person. The animal instinct is a survival mode that God instilled in an animal that he can survive. And a conscience in a person is a right and wrong moral issues that God instills in man. Thinking of an instinct in an animal, that is another example that there is an existing God. I mean, why does a bird fly south in the fall and fly north in the spring? I just seen a robin here just last week, I believe. One day I seen a robin for the first time. I thought he's a little early. But his conscience, his instinct didn't tell him that. Hitler made this statement. He said, I would like to raise up a generation without a conscience. Now, why would Hitler say that? Well, that way he could tell people to do whatever he wished without even remorse or wrong feeling. Imagine how a man would be without a conscience to say something's right or something's wrong. Now, first of all, I'd like to go to Proverbs 20. I'm going to be leafing through the Bible tonight. You know, you can't go to one verse and there it is, everything. We're going to go through the different verses of the scriptures and get thoughts. Proverbs 20 gives us a very good thought. I like this verse. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle. You know, back in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the nostrils, the breath of life. And man became a living what?
Soul.
So man, God put emotions, He put a will in man. A mind, will, and emotions are the makeup of the soul. You're made of three parts. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Three parts. So when God created man, I can imagine God out of the dust, he created man. There it was. Man wasn't living. He had to put a soul and a spirit in that man in order to get the man up and running, you would say. All right? Now, man would like to clone a man. Is it possible for scientists to clone a person? They said they cloned an animal. But does an animal doesn't have no spirit, doesn't have no soul? Or does it? Does it? No. But can you clone a person? That's scary if they think they're going to clone a person. Another person like me? Ooh. That wouldn't be very good. You know, we converse with God with our spirit, and we see how the spirit and the soul work together. God placed within each living human a higher power of a conscience, a moral restraint. I believe in every person's life at one point or another thinks that is there a God? Maybe not us as living in Christian homes. We were taught there is a God from little up. But let's place ourselves in the middle of New York City. Well, maybe you would have witnesses there too. But maybe how about in Haiti? Suppose you're in Haiti tonight and you have a lot of witchcraft. They believe in some kind of a spirit. Because there's a spirit working there. It's an evil one. But do you really think there is a God if you would live in Haiti? Think about it. God made man a moral being responsible for his actions. The candle, as the proverb writer calls it, the conscience, man sees his inner nature. His, you know, your inner being. Now, the conscience includes three things. Number one, the perception of right and wrong. Now, I'm going to ask a question here. Is common sense the same as your conscience? Is common sense same as your conscience? All right, I'm going to give a scenario. Suppose I see a German Shepherd dog that is tied and barking viciously and showing his shiny teeth. Would it be common sense to punch the dog in the nose? Would that be common sense? That probably wouldn't be common. It wouldn't be a conscience thing, would it? That wouldn't be a conscience issue. That would be just common sense. That's common sense. You wouldn't do that. Because God put fear in your heart. You see them shiny teeth there showing, and you would fear that. God put fear in your heart to respect life. So, number two, my conscience would tell me, not by experience, but by observation, that it would bring consequences of a wrong choice. It would be no match to the vicious teeth-showing dog. And number three, because I would know that if I did punch the dog, I would wish I would not have remorse of a wrong choice would have long-lasting consequences. Now, The difference between a conscience and a common sense issue is this. Seeing that the angry dog is common sense to stay away, but now let's put another scenario together. How about taking a dish of food away from your dog? Is that a good idea? My wife had the experience that that was not a good idea. I think she still has a little scar on her side of her face. But common sense didn't tell her not to do that because she never had an experience that told her different. There was no shining, showing mad dog beforehand. He was a kind, nice dog, but she was trying to take something away from that dog that meant a lot to him. So that was not a conscience thing. Even common sense there had to be learned through experience. Now, your conscience and fear work hand in hand. Actually, fear is a gift from God. Did you ever think of that? Did you ever thank God for fear? That's why I don't go 100 mile an hour down the road. Because I fear for my life. And not just that, it's against the law. There's laws in America for the benefit of our life. When your fear is lost for height and speed, your life is in danger. I remember a man when I worked at New Holland Machine. There was a man that told me, he said, once a man loses fear of his motorcycle, he is a dangerous man. Think about it. You see these, I call them crotch rockets going down the road. Pshoom! That man has lost all fear of life. You know what? He may as well be an organ donor because he lost all fear. God wants us to experience fear to help control that what we do because life is precious. Now, going to another thought. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, think through this a little bit. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now here we have, say you were born in a Christian or a non-Christian homes, you are all born with a right and wrong moral regulator called the conscience. What Paul was writing here is saying that the Gentiles, even though they don't go by the law that God had given them, but yet in their conscience, they do observe some of the law that God gave them. Now, there are possibly some that are born living in cities that are not. They question that there is a God. But if you would ask that person, if they are a good person, most would tell you they are. Yeah, they are. They would. Then, if you explain to them that God exists and that he gave man the moral law, the Ten Commandments, to live by, if you would personally ask them if they lied, stole, or morally pure, most likely the answer would be that they lied, they stole, and they're morally impure. Most one of them would say that. But before that, they were saying that they were good people. Now, their conscience is an active mode because you brought truth in their life. You brought truth to them. Now their conscience is starting to activate because it was in the dormant stage because of being not being taught. The next question you would ask them is that, you just told me you are a thief, you're a liar, and you're an impure fornicator. So, if you are judged by the Ten Commandments, would it be heaven or would it be hell? And their conscience would be activated and they would say it would be hell. Then the next question you could ask them is this: does that concern you? Does that concern you? In other words, truth must be taught so that being knowledgeable, the Spirit can work forth in conviction. Then you can bring in the salvation story. Now, we just read from Romans 2, and verse 14, we were explained that Gentiles have some rules concerning, even though they do not have Christ, but yet they have some laws that would represent the law. Gentiles would have that, even though they are not God-fearing people. But each one of us has a conscience within. Example, if you would ask a person if he or she curses their mother, their answer would be, no, I wouldn't do it. A terrible deed like that. Well, then you could ask them, why do you curse God who can give you eternal life? If your mother gave you life, why would you curse God that can give you eternal life? You're bringing truth to their conscience. The conscience of man dwells in the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, a heart translates mind. The heart is the center of intelligence, emotions, will, and moral conscience. Heart and mind are one in the same. The key of the whole man is in his mind. So whatever captivates the mind captivates the heart. As a man thinketh, so is he. So is the conscience, is a knowing that was. So is the conscience, is a knowing within oneself. The heart or the mind is where God communicates with man. In Romans 2:11 tells us that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect one person above another. And we can be thankful for that. I believe that in verses 14 and 15 tells us that no man is without excuse, because nature would tell us that there was and is a creator. You know, all groups of people, no matter where they live, has rules and laws. Even though if they wouldn't have the scriptures, but yet they would have rules and laws. There is a right and there is a wrong. God has created man just that way. Therefore, no matter how morally men live, one must still be perfected in the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus himself. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 9:14 for another thought. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You know, the high priest once a year made atonement for the people. He entered into the Holy of Holies with blood to meet God. Through the blood and death of Jesus Christ, we who are sinners can enter into the Holy of Holies in the heavenly sanctuary. Spiritually, we go direct to God through Jesus Christ. We are connected to God, communing with God. In the Old Testament, the blood had to be applied that the person's sins could be covered again. In the New Testament, Jesus once and for all gave his life that we can have eternal life, not just our sins covered, but have our sins forgiven and remembered no more. And the forgiveness that we experience purges our conscience. That is a wonderful blessing. You know, this guilt that hangs on our shoulders, that can all be removed and have our conscience purged through the confession, through repentance and forgiveness of sins. You know, sin is what creates a troubled conscience because of the moral law of the right and wrong. Purging simply means cleansing your conscience from dead works. When man lives in a sinful state, his works are dead and of no spiritual benefit because sin separates man from God. The blood of Christ, which forgives us our sins, is experience which purifies, cleanses man of sin. Now this prepares mankind to be in the most holy existence, which is in the presence of God or in heaven. Life is where we prepare for eternity before death. You know, these young men that met their Creator, you know, they can no longer prepare. But tonight, we have time yet. We can prepare. When we are purged or cleansed conscience, this is a cleansing of our temple. You know, who lives in your temple? This is our body. This is our temple. Who lives in your temple? Are we like Christ? When he came to the temple, he had to clean it out. He had to get rid of the den of thieves that were in the temple. You know, Christ doesn't live where the thieves are dwelling. Christ wants to cleanse our temple that he can live there. And that way we can have purged our conscience of a free spirit to let freely God in within us. So Jesus had to cleanse the temple literally and cast out the den of thieves, because Satan came and stole the hearts of men back in the Garden of Eden. So now the thieves have to be brought forth and get out and be cleansed and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Another thought, 1 Timothy 1. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou, when thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And he gives a number of examples of those that made shipwreck in their life because they had not had a pure conscience. You know, Paul is recommending to Timothy for commending to Timothy concerning holding his faith and a good conscience. What Paul is saying is that Timothy is maintaining a life of confidence and a personal trust in our Savior Jesus Christ. A personal trust and confidence is a daily decision. It is not a decision you make once and for all and it's done, but it's a daily decision each day. Our prayer is to direct that God's direction and divine leading in our lives. This personal conviction, this personal connection is what gives you and I this good conscience, as Paul was telling Timothy about. And then 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Something that is precious, something that is very viable, is worth hanging on to and holding fast. You know, this mystery is a hidden truth. The more God reveals to us, the more we try to preserve truth. This creates a pure conscience. When we know that we are doing all we know, gives us a pure conscience. In Hebrews 13:18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Gifting a prayer for each other that we would have a good conscience, desiring that each of us would have a live an honest life before our Maker Jesus Christ. Having said this, can you have a clear conscience and do something that against God's will? Can you do that? Well, suppose you were raised in a country where Muslim, Hindu, or any other religion was taught, and from little on up, that's all you know. So in your conscience, do you know any better if you were taught that from little on up? Apostle Paul, when he was raised a little on up, he was a Jew, a strict Pharisee. And when the Jews became Christians, Paul, in a good conscience, believed these people were going against God's commandments. Therefore, he wanted to stop this group before it got too large in size. That is when Jesus stopped Paul on his tracks with that bright light in Acts 9:5-6. There, at that moment, Paul had a choice to make. He could have rejected this conscience that was livened within him to reality, that he was working against God, believing in reality that he was wrong and accepted that God had for him to do. You know, right there, God gave Paul a choice through that bright light. He was instilling his conscience. He was livening his conscience. And Paul had a choice to make. Now, Jesus knew that Paul would be a good worker for God's kingdom because of his zeal. You know, when Paul got a hold of something happened. And now, Paul was a man of zeal and forth, and I admire Paul for his zeal. But Paul had a right and wrong. Had a choice to make between what do I do? Do I live the way I was, or is this the truth? And Paul made a right choice. How can we be sure about our choices in life? Well, number one, are they biblical? Today, we have the Bible, the Holy Spirit, through our conscience can work. We have the brotherhood. Paul, later on in his life, said that in his defense testimony in Felix, I want to turn to that. Give his defense to Felix. Acts 24. And hereby do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I see Paul as a man, when an issue came up, he was straightforward and he talked about it. And herefore, do I exercise myself always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men? I believe in order to have a testimony of a conscience without offense, we must be current with God and man when and if issues arise. There is nothing worse than having a troubled conscience. You know, I know how that is. You have an issue that comes up and you wish, oh, I wish it would just go away. But you know, then if you talk to that person or whoever, whatever the issue is, and talk it out, oh, what a relief. That's just a wonderful relief. You know, that is our conscience working within us. Now I want to go to 1 Samuel 16. Here we have Saul. First Samuel 16, verse 23, we know that in chapter 15, Saul was told to go to the Amalekites and totally destroy him. Well, we all know the story of what happened. He just kept the best back for, he said, for sacrifice. He was told to totally obey, but he did not totally obey. And an evil spirit of trouble came to Saul to trouble his spirit. And then in verse 23 it says this, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, and that David took up an harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now I pondered that a while, and thinking that it came to pass when the evil spirit from God, evil spirit from God. Now, in order to understand that right, you got to know what the word evil means. It means a distressing spirit. You know, God allowed a distressing spirit to come upon Saul to work in his conscience, to probe him, to confess and repent. But you know, what did he do? He went to music. He went to David. David could play the harp and it soothed his spirit. And it says the evil spirit left. I'm not sure that that was God's way of... I would say that evil spirit actually was God's mercy, really. It was trying to help Saul see his wrong. But yet, Saul went to music. You know, I'm afraid our society today, people get awake in the morning with music and they have music all day long and they go to bed almost living with music. Right? You know how people do it? You know what? You know what I enjoy? I don't listen to music. Very, very, very seldom. I go down the road thinking maybe too much. I don't know if that's possible or not, but I think of a lot of things, and God can give me, sometimes I think, if only I could write down my thoughts right now, I could write a sermon. But you know, you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. And let God work, let God instill you. And it's just so amazing. You don't need a lot of noise all the time. We need music sometimes to inspire us, but you know, if our conscience is stirred through the Spirit, it can be encouraged and strengthened. That's so wonderful. Now, just thinking of Saul and David. But when the troubling setbacks came, David cried out to God for mercy, and Saul was sorry he got caught, you would say. Saul used created things to soothe his conscience versus David repented and cried out to the Lord. That's the difference between Saul and David. Saul used music, and David, he cried out to God, and God came, and David repented, and he soothed his spirit. A practicing Christian does what he says. The false teachers preach one thing, but practice another. In other words, Satan's works in the means of hypocrisy, false intents. One of the marks of a true servant of God is that his honesty and integrity. Conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, I want to go to that thought. 1 Timothy 4. One and two. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Think about it. Your conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, let's take this as an example. Like when they brand cattle, they use a hot iron and they make a mark on the hide of a cattle to brand it to market that cattle rancher owns that cattle. Now, right where that mark is, there's no feeling. No feeling at all. It's branded, no hair grows, no feeling. And that's what Paul here is talking about here. Your conscience can become so hardened that nothing bothers you anymore. The spirit doesn't trouble you anymore. And that's where man can come to no more in these evil days that we live in. Sometimes you wonder, don't them people have a conscience? They do, but you know they went against their conscience so often that it doesn't trouble them anymore. A conscience is like a three triangle piece. It goes around. Every time it goes around it, oops, that wasn't right. But you know, if the edges get worn off, the conscience no longer does its job. That is because you did not respond. And therefore, what does it say? You accept the lies. You are in seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and you believe all that. And that's where we can come to if our conscience is not kept sharp. I'm going to go back to the verse that I started with. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Are you thankful tonight for your conscience? I'm thankful for mine. And let's keep it sharp. As we take care of issues that come up and God uses our conscience to stir us, the spirit within us, that we can keep it current. So let us keep our things current and up to date. Let us kneel to pray.